It's as good a time as any. So I'm going to make a statement. We can run. We could go. I go at your speed, by the way. And people would like to describe you. They could see this little Scottish elf, but I think there's more of some kind of William Wallace beast inside of you, a combination, that what we see is not exactly what William Sichel is as an athlete to come here to New York and run this thing.
God, Brian, that's a profound question for 6:30, no, 7:15 in the morning. I'm a real sort of mongrel, really, because with my background and everything, I've got so many different South African and Scottish and English and German Jew and all the rest of it. It's all mixed in there somewhere. So that's the modern William Sichel.
But I mean, you know, compared to, like, say, Pranjal, who's a big guy,
yes.
You're light, you're yes. ethereal, but you have to be really, really tough to come here and want to do this thing.
Oh, blimey, yeah. I think what I always said before I came, I felt that just to stand on the start line, you needed a medal. You know, whatever happened after that, I mean, to sort of put your, you know, if you like, staple your name to the start list, that was quite, you know, it really was an undertaking. It was a statement. It was a statement of intent. You know, I mean, it's such an undertaking just even organising to have 2 months of your life where you can disappear, you know. I know that was all part of coming here, really, but I mean, I made a decision 18 months ago to come here. And then I sort of gradually got built up the preparations for it logistically. You know, I've got a very small business, I'm self-employed, and in a sense I can't just disappear. There's an awful lot of planning and preparation went into just coming here, let alone the actual doing the running as well.
Well, the last time I saw you was 2 years ago in Flushing Meadow, and you're going after that really incredible, seriously going after that 6-day Scottish record that was so phenomenal, and also it was done indoors,
that's right.
That you couldn't get. Yeah. Were you thinking about this race back then?
Oh yeah, yes, I knew it was on the, I didn't make it public, but yeah, I knew I was intending to do it, yes. Oh, definitely, yes, yeah.
Well, can you describe, I mean, here it is, you have had a great career as a ultra distance runner, succeeded at many, many different races. What is the attraction of this race here in New York, which would seem so far and so out of your comfort zone to come here?
Yeah, definitely out of the comfort zone, anyway. I think the attraction was, right, I came into ultras from the standard marathon running. I had a short career as a marathon runner, so i.e. road running. So my background was very much road running. And then I went into track and road ultras as, to me, just a natural progression from road marathons. And I never really got sucked into the trail running boom, simply because where I live there's very, very, very limited options for training on trails as such. I did do one trail race 10 years ago, but I was very happy just to return to road and track, and that's my forte. So obviously the ultimate road race is obviously, well, this one, the longest one. So that was... you know, I'd known about the race for a long time. I'd often followed it in your blog that you do, but just never ever thought that it would be something I could physically get away to do. Because it wasn't a case of could I do it or physically. It's just I wouldn't be able to engineer 2 months clear in life to come, really. So, but yes, I suppose for a roadrunner, to me, it was the pinnacle of, because it was so long and that's the heat and the, as I'm finding out, the environmental conditions. So it was the ultimate thing to aspire to, really.
Have you ever done any really hot, humid race at all?
Not hot. I've done hot, as you know, I've done the Badwater, did quite well there. No, I've never done heat and humidity, no. That's new for me, which is why I did this preparation. I completely redesigned my home gym and turned it into a New York summer, and much to everyone's amusement. With halogen heaters and a humidifier pumping steam into the room, because I knew I wouldn't have a chance otherwise. And I'm really glad I did those 10 90-minute sessions up to 35 centigrade, 100 Fahrenheit, just to give me a chance, really. But, you know, I say take my hat off to the all the results that people get here. Now that I've experienced the conditions and the urban, as the organisers call it, an urban multi-day, you know, with all the interruptions and life going on around you, crowds of school kids, you know, just the traffic and all the rest of it. Really, you know, I can see now why they celebrate a 70-mile day, because, I mean, it's probably going to be few and far between.
Well, you had a very good first day. How would you describe your first 18 hours on the course?
I did have a good first day. I was hoping to do, privately, I thought it would be nice to do 70 on the first day, lay down a marker, just see how I feel, learn the course, just try and get a feel for it. It was a good start. Yeah, but it didn't take me long going to sleep last night. The head touching the pillows certainly was the situation last night. It was a good start, but it made me appreciate, I mean, the locals are calling it a warm day. You know, to me it was a hot day. And I think just it was so many hours of warm weather. It wasn't just, you know, the afternoon, the sun came up and all the rest of it. I mean, even when the sun set, it was still, I got little gauges I've got, and it was still 24 degrees at like 9 o'clock at night, you know. And even if anything, slightly more humid. It was certainly just broke me into what I've got lying ahead of me.
Now, William, I know you have, when you were here before, lots of people who are really interested in your running career and the experiences and adventures you get into. Are they following, do you think there's a big group following what you're doing here now this year?
Oh yeah, bigger than ever, yeah. This race has created people who just, gave a passing interest in what I do, suddenly were jolted into, or shocked into recognition, or to perhaps reading a little bit closer to what I do. I mean, all these years, William does all these crazy things, and he's that guy over there, he lives in Orkney, does all his long races, but perhaps, you know, he just never really looked into it or what was involved. But I think when this one started coming on the agenda, what, you know, people couldn't even, they thought they'd misheard it. They thought they'd misheard the distance or the duration or the, and it was like sort of almost, well, obviously it's over their heads, but it sort of jolted them, shocked them into just looking a bit closer and what was involved and what I do, and the fact that I thought I could even do it or start it, let alone anything else. So yeah, there's definitely a huge increase in the number of people following me, and of course nowadays, obviously with all the social media platforms, it's easier for people to follow things. I'm aware of that, yes.
Well, William, one small factor, and it doesn't seem to be something that you're too concerned about, you're 60 years old.
Oh yeah, thanks for reminding me. I didn't get up and look at my birth certificate this morning, but...
You're going to be the oldest guy to do this thing.
Well, that's one of the intentions, yes, if I can. And that obviously added to the attraction as well. Obviously, I noted that, you know, no one had actually finished it. We're the oldest finishers, female, and 54, I think. That was an added attraction along
with... Sriracha last year, I think it was.
Yes, yeah. So why not, you know? I mean, I don't see... I think, to be honest, I think, you know, a fit 60-year-old can finish it and can do a lot of things, actually, but we'll just have to, time will tell on that one.
William, thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Yep.